بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 14th of November in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 21st session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed surah Maryam radiyallahu anha. And I've reached verse 71. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 72. So verse 71. Not one of you but will pass over it. This is with your Lord a decree which must be accomplished. So what is this holy verse referring to? So this is the verse of the Quran where Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He is mentioning the bridge of Sirat. This is the only place in the Quran He mentions, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the bridge of Sirat. So with regards to this bridge, there's a few reports. So in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim number 129, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the bridge shall be set up between the two edges of the inferno. Of all the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, that cross with their nations, I shall be the first. That day none shall speak except the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, whose dua will be, O Lord, deliver. O Lord, deliver. And in the inferno lie hooks which resemble the thorns of the Sa'dan bush. Their great size is known only to God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They snatch at men through their deeds, whereby some perish, whilst others are lacerated but escape. So in this flawless report, the Prophet gave you a few key details. So the Lord, he said it's a bridge that is set up across the hellfire. Then he said, everybody crosses, all the prophets and their nations, I amongst the believers. He goes, we shall be the first to cross. So this is in the honor for us. The prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they will only be allowed to speak, and they will make in dua to save us. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned that there's hooks which are thrown from the hell, which land on the bridge. And he mentioned a certain type of sa'adan bush, which resembled the hooks. He goes, their size is only known to Allah, meaning you don't appreciate how huge these hooks are. And some they catch and they drag into hell. And some they catch, but it only cuts them, it lacerates them. So this is the first report recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. In another report it mentions, this is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 3-25. The Prophet added further details, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, on either side are the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, who say, O Lord, deliver, O Lord, deliver. There are some amongst mankind who shall cross like lightning. Others shall pass over like the wind. Others like horses that gallop. Others shall run. Others will walk. Others will crawl on their hands and knees or creep along on their bellies. So here the Prophet added further details, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the angels also are making the same dua. So the prophets are making the dua and the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Prophet mentioned that there will be different types of crossing. So there's things he mentioned and he used things that we understand, but really we shouldn't go too much into it literally. Lightning. So lightning is like a flash. Some will cross like a flash. Others like the wind. Just like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would travel a month's journey within a day with the wind. Others, horses galloping. Others running, so notice the speed is slowing down. Others walk, and others will be crawling, imagine, crawling. Astaghfirullah. In another report it mentions, this is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-376. The Prophet added categories, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Some shall cross in the twinkling of an eye. Others like lightning, others like clouds, Others like shooting stars. Others like a swift stallion. Others shall walk rapidly until he who has been given light upon his big toe shall cross, crawling on his face, his hands and his feet, pushing one hand forward and holding on with the other, clinging with one foot and dragging the other, whilst hell assails his flanks. Thus will he progress until he finished. And when he has done, he shall stand up and say, Alhamdulillah, he has granted me something never given to anyone else, for he has delivered me from hell after I saw it. Then he shall be taken to the pool at the gate of paradise where he bathes. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added categories. So now, what the sprinkling of an eye, faster than light. He also added clouds. Clouds travel quite fast as well. Shooting stars, which is very fast. Swift stallion. And then he mentioned the lowest. And the lowest is the one whose big toe is like a torch. So he's crawling and his toe is the giving light, but it's faulty. Like a dodgy torch. And he starts shaking it. And he's crawling all the way across the bridge, imagine. So you're thinking he's doomed. He makes it. So after, imagine, thousands of years. And when he gets to the end, another strange thing he says. He goes, Allah has given me something he's given nobody. Meaning I'm the only one who's crossed. And he doesn't realize he's the last. And then, of course, he's then prepared for paradise, which is another lecture. And in another report it mentions, this is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 6-110, Anas radiallahu anhu relates that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the bridge is like a sword blade or as sharp as a hair. The angels shall save the believers, men and women, and Jibreel will hold on to me whilst I say, oh my Lord, deliver, deliver. Many are the men and women who shall stumble on that day. So the Prophet added here sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the dimensions of the bridge, which we'll mention in a bit. And the angels, they will save the believers. What does that mean? Meaning they're making dua. And Jibreel is holding on to the Prophet. That's how symbolic that is. Why is he holding on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he wants to protect the Prophet from falling. He's on the bridge. So Jibreel is holding on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then he still said, many will fall. In other words, don't think one or two is going to fall into the hell. Because many will fall off the bridge. The Prophet mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these are narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's other details. So in terms of the dimensions, it mentions, this is in Ibn Abi Dunya and Al-Bidayah. Sa'id ibn Hilal, rahmatullah alayhi, said, it has been conveyed to us that the bridge on the Day of Judgment, the Sirat, is on the bridge. For some people it will be thinner than hair, and for other people it will be as vast as a valley. So here people get confused. Is it the bridge or is it the Sirat? The Sirat is on the bridge. Sirat means path. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Guide us on the straight path. So the path is on the bridge. Like you get a bridge and you get a road over it. There's two separate things. So there's the bridge. So the hadith here says, the Sirat on the Day of Judgment is on the bridge. The bridge of Sirat. Some it is thinner than a hair, meaning you're doomed. Even if you're one of the expert trapeze artists, you're not going to get anywhere. You're doomed. And the second is, it's like a valley. So you don't even see a bridge. So imagine somebody goes across the bridge and you see a valley. You don't see the left side of it. He goes, man. But you don't say anything. You think, no problem. Right? And notice the width. So some people think that you will see a bridge. But inshallah, we won't, though we're crossing the bridge. In another report it mentions, this is in Ibn Abi Dunya Al-Bidayah, Abi Wa'id Al-Zahid, rahmatullah alayhi, said, it has reached me that the bridge is 3,000 years. 1,000 years people will ascend. 1,000 years people will be upright. 1,000 years people will descend. So notice bridges, they like this, the long ones especially. It starts off with the elevation, then it flattens, then it descends. But the Salaf say 1,000 years. Now what's interesting, the distances differ in different reports. One report says 1,500 years. 500 years, 500 years, 500 years. This is 1,000. So the ulama said you shouldn't take it literally. It means the distance is so long. It takes so long to cross the bridge if you take a normal time. Even if it's 3,000 years, imagine 3,000 years to cross a bridge. What sort of a bridge is this? And this is the distance which is mentioned here. Other details are mentioned. So this narration is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 4141. It's Hassan. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he recited verse 71. And then he said, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَرِدُ النَّاسُ النَّارَ قُلُّهُمْ ثُمَّ يَسْدُلُونَ عَنْهَا بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. All the people will come to it. Then they will pass over it by means of their deeds. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Everybody comes to it. I'm going to explain this in a bit, inshallah. How do you cross? You don't cross. You know, you have to pay a toll. You know, like you go across a bridge and he goes, oh, there's a toll now. You can't cross. You have got to pay for a ticket. The toll for the bridge is good deeds. If you haven't got good deeds, you've had it. So what did the Prophet say? Very beautifully. He goes, deeds. Notice it's all about deeds that's helping you cross the bridge. Meaning you should focus upon your deeds in this worldly life. Nothing else is going to help you. And this is an authentic report in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. In another report it adds, this is in Tirmidhi, number 3170. And he states, it's Hassan. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَرِدُ النَّاسُ النَّارَ ثُمَّ يَسْدُلُونَ عَنْهَا بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. People will pass by hell and go away from it according to their deeds. Look how interesting. The Prophet's word is different now. Because you're pulled away from the hell by good deeds. The first of them will go as fast as a spark of lightning. The second like wind. The next as horse. The next like a camel rider. Then a man running away. And then one as one who walks. So, look at the image you get. The fire is surrounding the bridge. The fire of hell is black. So there is no artificial light. There is darkness. But your deeds, the Prophet said, pulls you away from the fire. Look how beautiful, meaning it's a protection as you're crossing. And then he mentioned the relevant things. In another report, in Tirmidhi, number 3171, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud recited verse 71, he said, they will come to it and then go away from it relative to their deeds. This is also in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 4141. So deeds, again, notice the importance of deeds. Nothing's going to protect you except your deeds on that bridge, said Ibn Mas'ud, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report it mentions, so this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no one of the Muslims who has three children, all who died, will be touched by the fire except إِلَّا تَحِلَّةَ الْقَسْمِ, except for a promise that must be fulfilled. So this is a very famous hadith recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. If you lose your children before puberty, it's a great protection from the fire, the Prophet said. He mentioned three. So the hadith mentions two, mentions one. But then the Prophet said, إِلَّا تَحِلَّةَ الْقَسْمِ, you're safe from the fire except the promise. What's the promise? Verse 71. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, Hatman maqdiya, a decree which must be accomplished. So Allah Ta'ala has promised, you have to get to the bridge. So notice, Rasulullah talked about other things, other blessings. But then he quickly said, but there's a promise. And he didn't explain in the hadith what the promise is. It means you have to cross the bridge. Nobody's excused from the bridge, even if you're protected from the fire. Also it mentions, this is recorded in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, he recited verse 71, he said, the passing of the Muslims means they're passing over the bridge, that is over it. But the passing of the idolaters over the hellfire refers to their admission into the fire. So when the Quran says, not one of you will pass over it. The Salaf say, the Muslims actually pass over it. But the idolaters, they enter it. That's the, so there's two meanings. Pass over it, inshallah, for us means pass over it. But for the unbelievers, it means enter it, said the Salaf. As-Sudi reports from Murra, from Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he recited verse 71. Hatman maqdiya, he explained. This is an oath that must be fulfilled. This is in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Mujahid said, Hatman means preordainment. And Ibn Jurayd said the same in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Meaning nothing in the universe can protect you from the Dajj of Sirat. There is no deed you can do that will protect you. So don't ask me, oh, is there anything special? Nobody's escaped the bridge of Sirat. Think about that. Absolutely nobody escapes. So now, there's a point here. And this is an important point. So Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, he says in Ma'riful Quran, volume 6, page 63. So if you look at verse 71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says a very interesting word, wariduha, wariduha. That literally translates arrive. So the verse reads, there is none amongst you who is not to arrive at it. Wariduha. He explains, this means everybody, believer or unbeliever, will go across the hell. However, this does not mean that they would go to stay in it. They would only cross it. But then he said, but even if wariduha means entry, then the pious believers on entry into hell will feel no discomfort because its fires cool down and will not harm them. Then he quotes a hadith. Abu Sumayyah radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody, whether he is a pious or a sinner, will initially enter hell. But for the pious believers, the fire will cool down, just as the fire of Namrud cooled down for Ibrahim when he was cast into it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, the believers will be taken to paradise. So stop in the quote. So some ulama said that you will actually enter hell. So a person goes, well, hey, it's over, right? And he goes, no, it's not over. Because for the believer, the fire doesn't harm him. So when you're crossing the bridge, the fire encompasses you. You're getting roasted, but you are not. Because Allah Ta'ala protects you, just like He protected Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Mufti Shafi said, this view is confirmed by the next verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُ. Meaning, we will save those who have taqwa. A similar view has been expressed by Ibn Abbas. Then he said, even if the word wurud, going back to the word I mentioned, occurring in the Quran is taken to mean duhul, entry, then the word duhul, entry, will be interpreted as synonymous with the word ubur, going across. Thus there is no contradiction in the meaning of the word. So here is the Arabic, he's focusing on the Arabic, and it basically means there's no contradiction. If you interpret to mean to go over, correct. If you interpret to mean to enter, correct. So a person goes, well, which one is it? Am I going over or am I entering? Both. Enter means the fire has encompassed you, so you've actually entered the fire. But you are not doomed. Allah Ta'ala protects you by His kindness. And in fact, there's a report which mentions this. And what does it say? So it mentions here. So this is in Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali Rahmatullah Ali, in his Al-Takhwif Minan Nar, Fleeing from the Fire, page 296 of the English translation. Shamr ibn Atiyah, he said, rahmatullah alayh, when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu read the verse 72, so verse 72, but we shall save those who have taqwa, and we shall leave the oppressors on their knees. When Umar ibn al-Khattab read this verse, he used to weep. And he said, oh my Lord, am I of those whom you save, or those whom you leave within it on their knees? Now think about that. Umar radiallahu anhu, is he guaranteed paradise? Yes. Is there any doubt about it? No. Mutawatir. So why is he weeping when he reads verse 72? So a person goes, well, I don't understand. Why is he weeping? You're guaranteed paradise. Because nobody escapes. He's weeping. He's telling you, look, Allah promised something. Nothing can stop this promise. But then he's thinking, what does the Quran say? We will save the God-fearing, but the oppressors, they'll be on their knees in hell. He goes, am I amongst those who will be on their knees? In another report, it mentions, in Ibn Abi Dunya, in Al-Takhweef Min An-Nar, page 296 of the English translation, Hassan al-Basri said, Rahmatullah alayh, when the companions of Rasulullah met, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to say to each other, did you hear that you will be coming to the hellfire? They would say, yes. They then asked, did you hear you will be saved from it? The other said, no. They would say, then why do you laugh? So look how strange. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were saying, if Allah Ta'ala has promised every one of us that we're going to go to hell, there's no doubt about it. And he's not promised you that you're going to be saved from the hell. Why are you laughing? And it's true. You know, if you think about it, you know, how many times have we laughed in our lives? You look at the guy and you're thinking, why is he laughing? He's going to hell. Right? So the Sahaba, they took these verses very, very seriously. And they affected them too much. So let me mention something here about this. So here, there's a report. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 24,847, or 9-415, our mother Sayyida Aisha, she relates that the Prophet said, there is a bridge over hell, which is finer than a strand of hair and sharper than the edge of a sword. So notice, like I mentioned, the bridge is strange. If you get a bridge, think about this, you know, we don't even think, we just narrate. When I actually heard a scholar explaining it, it made me chuckle. I thought, we don't even think, yeah, yeah, I know about them. No, you don't. How can a bridge, same bridge, be thinner than a hair, and to another it's like as wide as a valley? Is it the same bridge? Then the guy goes, yeah, well, how does that work then? I never thought of that. There you go. So, it's a strange bridge. It's like it's alive. And he's looking at you, thinking, yeah, you were shaitan. No problem. Thinner than a hair, sharper than a sword. She's another person. Why does a valet? So here, this is the meaning here. Another important point. Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, said in Ma'rif al-Quran, that only the Muslims will cross the bridge. So think about that. You know, I've heard people talk about the bridge. And they go, yeah, everybody crosses. Kufar go across. Where does it say that? The Muslims are the only ones allowed to cross. Some of them will fall into the fire. The unbelievers get to the bridge and they don't even, they're dead, they're finished. Does. How can they cross when there's nothing to cross? So you have to explain, he says, everybody goes to the bridge, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran goes into great detail. Guess what they ask you at the bridge? The munafiqs, give us some of your light. Because you need light to cross. Another thing that people don't talk about. People go, yeah, I'll just walk across. Hang on a minute, brother. We just walk across. It's complete darkness. The hellfire is black. Complete darkness. You don't know where you're going. Imagine you're in a dark forest and somebody goes, walk straight. You can't even walk straight in a dark forest. And you're going to walk across the bridge of Sirat. So imagine what you witness and what you're hearing, because the fire roars. The fire, or the roar of the fire is petrifying. The munafiqs, the Quran says, give us some of your light. And guess what we say to them? Go and get your own light. Now think about that. If you've got light, why can't somebody just go behind you? Use your light. Because it's not dunya. There's something about your light that prevents others from using your light. Have you ever thought of that? And he goes, oh, yeah, never thought of that. But there you go in there. You're narrating, you're even thinking about what the Prophet is telling you. That Allah is there. And the last person I told you, his light will be in his talk. Even he's thinking, come on, work. Right? And he finally gets across, you know, imagine. In another report, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, 1-333, Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal, radiallahu anhu, he said, I have heard that the bridge of Sirat will be like a strand of hair for some people on the Day of Judgment, whilst it will be like a home and wide valley for others. So he actually said a home. Imagine you're going, it's like dwelling. Allah made it so easy to cross. So now let's go to the Sahaba. How did they react to this? In Abd al-Razak Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 444-5 of the New English Translation, Qais ibn Abu Hazim, radiyallahu anhu, he said, Abdullah ibn Rawah, radiyallahu anhu, was once lying down in his wife's lap and he started to weep. His wife also started to weep. So think about that. She doesn't know why her husband's weeping, but she's weeping. He then said, he thereupon asked to his wife, "Why are you weeping?" So he's weeping. His wife weeps. And it should be the wife asking the husband, but the husband asks, "Why are you weeping?" She replied, "Seeing you weep makes me weep." He thereupon said, "I thought of the verse," and he recited verse 71. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا قَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتَمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Every one of you shall pass by it. This is a decree, command of your Lord. I am weeping because I do not know whether I shall be rescued from it or not. Abdullah ibn Rawaha was also ill at the time. Now think about it. Sahaba is weeping over this verse. Thinking about it. Think, astaghfirullah, I don't think I'm going to get across. So when I narrate that report to you, what hope have we got? I'm alright, me. Oh yeah. Go and join your brothers in Iran, right? Sahaba are our guides. So at least we should think about this verse. Somebody goes, "Have you thought about this verse?" Oh yeah, have you? Really thought about this verse? Allah Ta'ala is promising you help, and you've thought about it. He's promised me what? You haven't even read the verse. In another report, in Ibn Ishaq, is Hassan Ibn Hisham in his Seerah 4-24, Ibn Kathir Seerah volume 3, page 326-27 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2, page 244-5 of the New English translation. He's about to go on the expedition. So what is the expedition? The Battle of Mu'tah. Who's the first commander of the Battle of Mu'tah? Zayd ibn al-Harith radiyallahu. Who's the second command? Ja'far ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu. Who's the third command? Abdullah ibn Rawaha, the same Sahaba. He's about to go. When they started leaving, Urwa ibn Zubair said, when they started leaving, the people came to bid farewell to the commanders that Rasulullah appointed. As Abdullah ibn Rawaha was being greeted along with others, he burst into tears. The people asked, "Why are you weeping, O commander?" He said, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is neither love for the world nor my attachment to my friends that makes me weep. But I have heard Rasulullah recite a verse from the Quran that speaks of the fire." He recited verse 71. "I thus have no idea how I am to return after this crossing." The other Muslims thereupon said, "May Allah Ta'ala be your companion. May He remove your worries and return you to us, hail and health." Now think about this. He's going on jihad. Who's appointed in the commander? Rasulullah. So is there a greater deed you could do? You're doing jihad. Rasulullah sent you off with His blessings. What's he thinking about? He now gives a two diddles about the enemies. He's thinking about this verse. He goes, "Oh my God, I don't know, I think I've blown it." And the other Sahaba, he goes, "May Allah bless you." He goes, "Go, may you come back safe as well." So what does that tell you? It was always on the mind of Abdullah ibn Rawah, this verse. He goes, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do when I get to the bridge?" Note again, he was constantly thinking about this verse. Subhanallah, compare this with the likes of many of us who, let alone fear that inevitable and awe-inspiring crossing, do not even bother to make a dua to ask Allah Ta'ala to help us. You ask, you listen to a person's dua, "Ya Allah, give me, 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 give me." After he's finished, say, "Brother, do you make a dua that Allah Ta'ala helps you across the bridge?" "Oh yeah, brother, next time." And you go, "MashaAllah. Go and join your brothers in Iran," right? And then he goes, "What do you mean, astaghfirullah, brother? You can't call me Rawafid," right? He goes, "Sahaba, this verse made him weep. You don't even make dua for it." And he goes, "Yeah, but I'm asking for paradise. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking you, do you make a dua that Allah Ta'ala helps you cross the bridge of Sirat?" He goes, "I'll start doing it now." There you go. Not even making a dua. Forget about, are you thinking about it? You're not even making dua for it. You can't miss that appointment and you're not making dua. Even when you go to a dentist, you see people, they brush their teeth. "What are you brushing your teeth for?" "So I've got to go to a dentist today." You go, you know, holes in your teeth, you know, and then dentist looks at your teeth and he has a little, you can tell he's having a little chuckle, oh, he brushed his teeth today, he wasted it for last year, oh yeah, then he goes, oh yeah, teeth are, and he starts mentioning those letters, he goes, Z, Z, X, X, and he goes, oh my God, and he goes, yeah, you need 5 appointments, next minute you got braces up, right, so there you go, what about the appointment that Allah has promised, at least you brush your teeth, not even making dua, think about that. No one is safe. Now, some people, I don't know where they're getting this from. Because my sheikh will help me. What? Right? No, sheikh's there. It's all about the sheikh. All right. Listen to this, sheikh. In Ibn Majah, number 4281, in the chapter on Zuhud, Ahmad in his Musnad, 6-285, Sheikh Al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih, in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, number 3754. Our beloved mother Hafsa radiyallahu anha relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni la arju Allah yadkhulan nara ahada insha'Allah ta'ala mimman shahida badran wal hudaybiyah. Verily I hope that no one of those who witness Badr and Hudaybiyah will enter the fire insha'Allah. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, insha'Allah, those who were at Badr and Hudaybiyah, they will not enter the fire. Hafsa, she then said, radiyallahu, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaysa qad qala Allahu, Ya Rasulullah, hasn't Allah the Almighty said, and she recited verse 71, this verse. The Prophet thereupon said, Alam tasma'ihi yaqul, have you not heard that he then says, and he recited verse 72, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ النَّذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. Then we shall save those who have taqwa and were dutiful. We shall leave the wrongdoers therein on their knees. So look how beautiful. Rasulullah made a statement. What did he say? Inshallah, the Badris and those who pledged under the tree, they won't enter the fire. Hafsa, she's living the Quran. She thought, hey, Allah Ta'ala promises that nobody escapes entering the fire. She was, what about this verse, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet then looked at her and he was, what about the next verse? And what does it say in the next verse? Allah Ta'ala will save those. Meaning, yes, but you only read one verse. The next verse explains it. Subhanallah, the fortunate ones will cross the awesome bridge swiftly and joyfully with their bright and sparkling faces due to the light of their iman. Because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 375, the hellfire will say to the believer, O believer, pass quickly. Your nur is extinguishing my fire. Subhanallah. O believer, pass quickly. Your nur is extinguishing my fire. Look how amazing. The light that's coming off the believer is actually harming the hellfire. And the hell saying, get across quick. I'm going to push you across because I don't want you burning me. So what's burning the fire? Your deeds. What did the Prophet say? Your deeds propel you away from the fire. Look how the hadith are explaining. But if you've got no deeds, all you're bothered about is koti, right? Koti, am I going to the koti, right? Go look on the day of judgment, isn't it? Koti. Koti is going to help you across. So now what's interesting about this? Is there any deeds that are mentioned? Yes. The Prophet said, he said, that I saw something strange. And he said, I saw one of my ummah, he's crossing the bridge and one of the thorns grabbed him. And he's clinging for dear life. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but Salat al-Nabi helped him across. Durood Sharif. Subhanallah. This is in Tabarani. So Durood Sharif is a very strong help across the bridge. So you should do a lot of Durood Sharif, Salat al-Nabi. Another report mentions in Ibn Abi Dunya Sahih Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fulfills the need of a believer makes him happy. Allah Ta'ala will give him 2 torches on the bridge. And the torch, one of those torches is enough light for the whole world. So if you've got a torch that is enough light for the whole world, what's the hellfire going to do? It's going to push you across. Get out of here, right? Because you're burning me. Another report mentions in Bayhaqi that the Qurbani helps you across when you offer the Qurbani. So no, it's all about deeds. People say, what deeds? Just do deeds, brother. Read Quran, do zikr, fulfill needs, do salat and nabi, just get on with it. And that's why deeds are the only currency, starting from the grave. Your deeds surround you. Right? What do you say to your deeds? because I thought you were the least important. That's at the beginning of your journey. Imagine, you're just in the grave, you see the deeds protecting you. You're going, I thought you were the least important. Why do you say that? Authentic hadith in Tabarani, because your family and wealth is what you were putting your energy into. There's three: your wealth, your family, and your deeds. And believe, you know, you can say, deed, no, brother. You're going to say to your deed, I thought you weren't that important. I thought money was more important. I thought family was more important. Is it? People say, well, I don't want to die alone. You've been kafir, right? You know, you don't want to die without deeds, you flipping idiot. Right? I'm not bothered if I die alone. You can choke me in dustbin, right? I want to die with, I want to get married, I'm going to have kids. Right? Baskar, right? You want to die with deeds. Imagine, okay, you go family around you. They go, what's that going to do? You drop dead, next minute, catch us off, right? Well, you're all family around you. Allah Ta'ala answered your dua. I want to die with deeds. And this is why Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, performing the deed is easy. Protecting it is difficult. So even when you do the deed, you have to protect it. You might die with deeds that have been nullified because of riyah and other things that you're doing. Astaghfirullah. So the bridge is mentioned here in this verse, and I've given you details with regard to it. Other things people ask, what's the bridge made of? If that was important, Allah Ta'ala would tell us. Just a stupid question if you think about it. Does it matter, brother? You're not going to go to a bridge and say, I wonder what construction that bridge is. Pascal, you've been scared to death. Right? Now you're asking, is it made of iron? Is it made from alloy? Right? Who gives a monkeys, mate? Who made it? Who gives a monkeys? Don't worry about it. You don't go to the dentist and say, you know that injection that you're going to put into my mouth? I want to know what's in it. He'll say, put them, go to sleep. Right? You know, you don't ask any questions. You just take it. Look, they know what they're doing. But some ulama have mentioned that the fire does not burn it. Fire burns everything. The hellfire actually takes out oceans. The Prophet said the hellfire dipped twice in the ocean and now it's the fire that you've got. That fire does not take out the bridge. Now think about that. And also, just to add to finish, some people, they cross the bridge so quickly and they're at the gates of paradise. And then they're looking at each other because they think Allah Ta'ala promised we're going to go to hell. So one of them asks the angel, he goes, we were promised something by our Lord. And they refer to this verse. And the angels will say, can you remember that flash? And he goes, like lightning, you know, he goes, yes, because that's you, you crossed it. But look how touching that is. They know that the Allah Ta'ala's promise is true. They don't enter paradise thinking, shh, keep quiet, look, don't worry about it, let's get in paradise. They go, no, Allah Ta'ala's promised. What's happened to the promise? And the angels, and so they don't even know. Imagine, you know, make dua that you're amongst them. The Prophet said in Tabarani, Hayat al-Sahaba, whoever offers his five prayers in the masjid, he will cross the bridge like lightning. Right? That's the bargain, one of the deeds that the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another thing, if only Muslims cross the bridge of Sirat, only Muslims, and only Muslims fall, what hell is this? It's the lowest hellfire. I mean, it's the highest. It's the hellfire that only the Muslims enter. There's actually one hellfire which only Muslims enter. And after the Muslims leave, the report says that fire is taken out. Because only the gates start creaking and herbage starts growing. Look how strange you go there. I read that report. I thought, what's this? What hellfire has gone out? Because there's Muslims. There's no Muslims left. So the fire goes out and it's greenly starts growing and the gates start creaking. That is the fire over the bridge. Meaning the Muslims that fall into there, Allah Ta'ala will eventually take out. Question, how can kafirs cross that bridge? That means they're falling into that fire. That means they've escaped. So logically, they don't go across the bridge. It's only the Muslims. And regularly make a dua that Allah Ta'ala helps us across that inevitable, awesome crossing. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن منكم إلا واردها كان على ربك حتما مقضيا ثم ننجي الذين اتقوا ونذر الظالمين فيها جثيا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the review of our hearts. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Billahi min shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu.